A very good morning. On behalf of Teach 613, we welcome you to Take 10 for Talmud. Special thanks to our host, Yom Gizrael of Cherry Hill. Erevin Daf Pei, Erevin ADA, pagination page 159, but we'll start from the facing page, the Mishnah in the middle of the page, Masnisin in the beginning of a line, so we're on Ayin Tesamud Beis 79B, page 158. Ketzad Mishtatfin B'mavui. How do you do the joining for the alleyway, the concept of Shtufei Mevos or Eruv Chatzeros that we've been discussing, to join by food the people who are already closed in by a fence, but they have different residences and therefore have to be joined by food. What?
For Mavoi, right?
No. This case is Mavoi, but the same principles are going to be true by a Chatzer. Meniach HaSachavis, you place a barrel full of the food, the contents, va'omer, and you say, harezu l'chol b'nei mavui, this should be owned by all the people in this alley, all the people who have residences opening up to the alley. But it's not enough that you say that, it also has to be owned by them. U'mezak elohen, and you grant it to them, Ayidei b'no ubito hagidolim, through even your son or daughter that's an adult. You just need someone to pick it up, someone who's out of your reshus, out of your possession. So once a person is an adult, legal adult, that would do the trick. Vayidei avda b'shevchaso ha'ivrim, if you have a Jewish slave, Parshas Mishpatim, right? Vayidei ishto, or his wife, because also his wife has the ability to acquire things independent of him. She has that ability, may have to have all kinds of permissions, whatever, but basically she does have that ability. You can't do it through children underage, or through non-Jewish slave, because that relationship is different. The non-Jewish slave case is an extension of the owner, because their hand is an extension of his. Now, if this Mishnah was accepted as final ruling, it would make life fairly easy, because when a person wants to be mezaka and Erev Chatzeros, and the same concept by Erev Tafshilin, when a Rav wants to grant the Erev Tafshilin to everybody in the city so that he's including everybody in that Erev, he would simply go over to his wife, and his wife would lift up the box of matzah or the egg, and everything would be fine. The fact is, however, that in Halacha, there is a second Shita in Shulchan Aruch, which says that this Mishnah is only referring to a specific limited case when the wife has her independence. She has an independent home, the children are adult and independent, but not when they're adult and living in your home. And therefore, the preference is, because of that second shita, to instead go to a neighbor to make the kinyan. So if you're making an Erev Chatzeros on your block, let's say, you wouldn't go to your adult child or to your wife. Ideally, you would go to a neighbor who acquires it on behalf of all the people in the neighborhood. Now, there's an interesting question moving on to today's daf. How high do you have to lift the food in order to be considered a kinyan on behalf of the neighborhood? If you'll take a look, jumping to really the conclusion here.
At least three tefachim.
So your reaction, because you're a lamdan, is that you have to lift it up at least three tefachim. Why? Because otherwise it's leveled to the ground, and it's as if it's attached, because anything that moves less than three tefachim is not considered having moved. Okay. Take a look at the Gemara over here. I'm estimating about 11 lines from the top. The first word on the line is mashahu. The Braisa says that it only has to be lifted a mashahu. A mashahu means a little bit. And the Gemara says it can't be just a little bit, because a previous statement said that it has to be a tefach. And the Gemara answers, my mashahu, what does it mean when you have to move it just a little bit? Tefach. You have to move it one tefach. And the discussion over here becomes whether this is lenient only because it's rabbinic and you're making a rabbinic acquisition, right? This box of matzah, it's almost like I don't even care who owns it. I just want to be able to carry. So it's a rabbinic issue, and therefore the tefach was sufficient. Or all kinyanim don't really need, whenever you're making a kinyan like this, you don't need lavud. In other words, lavud doesn't work against you. Lavud is an accommodation that it's considered attached because we're all human. But if a person is intentionally lifting something and he's trying to acquire it, you're not going to say that it's as if it's attached, you didn't acquire it. Once he moves it distinctly, and that distinctly is defined by the Gemara as a tefach. This concept comes up also when a person lifts the kos for Kiddush. How high does he have to lift it? So it's brought a concept of a tefach. It's the amount you have to lift it. It doesn't have to be lavud. It's not as if it's still touching the table because I didn't lift it three tefachim. That's certainly not true. There's this concept, tefach, and that's considered sufficient. And the question is, it certainly works for this because that's where the Gemara records it, but should this be extrapolated to all kinyanim or not? And it's actually brought as two different opinions in Shulchan Aruch Choshen Mishpat, Kuf Tzadi Ches, Sif Beis. The Gemara on our daf continues and wants to know regarding different types of Erevin, whether they have to be acquired by the person who wants to use it, or it's sufficient if it is owned, let's say, by the host or owned by the generous person, and they just attribute their Erev Techumen to that which the other person did. You take a look, skipping down about two lines at the end of a line, Eruve Techumen, regarding Erev Techumen, Rav Amar Tzarech Liskos, Rav says it has to actually be owned by the person who's going to use it, and therefore you have to have a second person who acquires your ownership on behalf, you still own a part of it, but on behalf of all the other people who are going to use it. Shmuel Omer Ein Tzarech Liskos, and Shmuel says there's no need to be mezake it, somehow you could be attributed to it, even if you don't technically own it. The Gemara therefore brings a fascinating story. Skip down another two lines, and in the middle of a line, the word Maisa, a story. Yeah? Maisa bekaloso shirabi Oshia, there was a story with the daughter-in-law of Rav Oshia. She went to the bathhouse, which literally, probably a little bit impromptu, but apparently was outside the city. There was an area that they bathed. And it was getting dark. And they realized that their daughter-in-law, she's taken the last shower, and she's out of the city. And therefore her mother-in-law, in an act of responsibility, generosity, hospitality, she had to solve this for her daughter-in-law. So she did the Erev Techumen on her behalf. She walked midway between the city and the Beis HaMerchatz, and she put down an Erev on behalf of her daughter-in-law. And like this, she assumed that the daughter-in-law will be able to make it back to the home after it's dark already. She's running late. Uvamaisa lefnei Reb Chiya. And it came in front of Reb Chiya, va'osar, and he said it doesn't work. And the question is, why doesn't it work? Skip down about three lines to the beginning of a line, v'iboiluhu, and we ask the following question. Mishal chamosa irvala, is it because she used the mother-in-law's property, the mother-in-law used her own property, because she didn't acquire it on behalf of the daughter-in-law, and therefore using someone else's Erev Techumen doesn't work if I'm not included. Oh, Dilma, or maybe Mishela Irvala, she did take the daughter-in-law's food or was mezaka on her behalf to benefit her, but the problem was that the daughter-in-law didn't know about it. And by Erev Techumen, you need to know about it because there's a risk that the person would object. Because the same way you're extending my distance in one direction, but you're limiting me in the other direction. Rabbi Yaakov responded, Rabbi Yechon explained this to me, and he said, they used the mother-in-law's material, and they did not grant it to the daughter-in-law, and that was the problem. Presumably, even though normally we're worried that a person would object to an Erev Techumen that pulls them in one direction as opposed to the other, but that's not the concern over here. Presumably it's not the concern, because it was quite clear that the daughter-in-law wanted to make it back to the city. You would wonder how exactly normally we're worried, but if it's very clear, perhaps one can be lenient. In any case, the Gemara says the problem here was that they didn't use the daughter-in-law's material, and therefore, whatever solution they found for the daughter-in-law, but a standard Erev Techumen wasn't the solution because it wasn't done properly. Yeshua Koach, have a great day.